This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
And welcome back to another DCO Discourse podcast. Thanks for choosing to listen to us today. My name is Caitlin Doyle, and I am the Communications and Marketing Manager here at DCO. And today I'm joined by Caitlin Plant, who is our Programs Manager at DCO. We're going to be talking about Earth Hour today. So as we already know, I think most of us already know that Earth Hour is not just about, you know, switching our lights off for an hour on any given day or the day. It's a symbolic gesture that millions of people worldwide go on to take action on climate change. So this year we're going lights out on Saturday, March 23rd. From 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. But feel free to keep those lights off longer if you can. Any contribution to Earth Hour is accepted and welcome. So why do we participate in Earth Hour? Earth Hour, which is organized by the World Wildlife Fund, is a global movement that aims to unite people to take action on environmental issues as well as to protect the planet. It is important to note, however, that, quote, Earth Hour does not claim that the event is an energy or carbon reduction exercise. It is a symbolic action, end quote. So earthhour.org does not engage in the measurement of energy or carbon reduction levels. So if you're looking for, say, how much was reduced at any given Earth Hour day, you won't find that on their website. You'll have to go through other government organization websites. Earth Hour is an initiative to encourage individuals, businesses, and governments around the world to take accountability for their ecological / carbon footprint, as well as to engage in dialogue and more or less of a resource exchange, which will provide some actual solutions to our environmental challenges. Quote, participation in Earth Hour symbolizes a commitment to change beyond the hour, end quote. So this year, Earth Hour takes on an even greater significance as we grapple with climate change and the urgency of our environmental issues globally.
So on that note, we're going to talk a little bit about climate change. I think, especially as I sit in, southwestern Ontario at the very beginning of March, and it feels more like the end of April, climate change has been really noticeable. We've had a really, really mild winter this year. And as somebody who loves winter, it makes me sad. And it really, really makes me think about how much the world has changed, even just since I was a kid. So according to the Government of Canada, quote, climate change is a long-term shift in weather conditions identified by changes in temperature, precipitation, winds, and other indicators. Climate change can involve both changes in average conditions and changes in variability, including, for example, extreme events, end quote. So at this point, it is well known that the Earth's climate undergoes natural variations across different timescales, but its overall state and average temperatures are primarily controlled by the balance of incoming and outgoing energy, known as the Earth's energy balance. So any factor that disrupts this balance, whether by altering the incoming energy, such as solar radiation, or outgoing energy, such as heat radiated back into space, can lead to changes in climate. These factors operate on various timescales, and not all historical factors responsible for climate changes are relevant today. Climate change factors can be categorized into two main groups, so those related to natural processes and those linked to human activities. Additionally, internal changes within the climate system, like fluctuations in ocean currents or atmospheric circulation, can influence short-term climate variations alongside long-term forced climate changes caused by external factors. Though when we talk about the causes of climate change, the main contributor, according to the Government of Canada, is human activity. Over the years, we've been burning fossil fuels more and more, converting large areas of forests into farmland, and overall consumption is on the rise. And just kind of a personal note to add in here, I know somebody who I have learned a lot from about climate change in like recent times is Hank Green on all sorts of different social media platforms. He's part of the Vlogbrothers on YouTube, and he's very, very active on both like Instagram and TikTok. And he does a whole bunch of content about a whole bunch of things, but he's really good at explaining like really scientific things really simply. So he's somebody who I've seen post about climate change and really how serious and or not serious certain aspects of it are in really easy to understand ways. So that's just something personal that I wanted to add in there in case anyone is wondering about like a good place to learn about climate change and a lot of other stuff. Hank Green is great. Just throwing that out there.
So I guess this, you know, we asked the question, how does this actually affect the planet? We kind of have a background of what climate change is, but what is this doing to the Earth? So when we burn fossil fuels like coal and oil, we release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. So this carbon dioxide acts more or less like a blanket, trapping heat and making the Earth warmer, which I think most of us know the term the greenhouse effect. So of course, the greenhouse effect makes the Earth warmer just as a greenhouse is warmer than its surroundings. It's a great little, you know, visual for you. In how that works. Multiple sources contribute carbon dioxide as the main cause of human-induced climate change. However, it is not just carbon dioxide. There are other substances too. These are known as climate forcers that can either warm or cool the climate. So they do this by affecting the flow of energy coming into the Earth and leaving the Earth's climate system. So where methane, and pardon my pronunciation here, tropospheric ozone contribute to the warming, substances like sulfate aerosols actually have a cooling effect by reflecting sunlight. So small changes in the sun's energy that reaches the Earth can also cause some climate change, but since the Industrial Revolution, adding greenhouse gases has been over 50 times more powerful than in the sun's radiance. So the additional greenhouse gases in the Earth's atmosphere have a very strong warming effect on the Earth's climate, which leads us to climate change. And of course, while some of these substances stick around in the atmosphere for a very long time, others are far more short-lived. And reducing the emissions of the short-lived climate forcers can have a pretty quick and large impact on the climate. So when it comes down to it, if we do want to tackle climate change, we've got to get a little more serious about cutting our own emissions and requesting that governments and the other large industries reduce theirs as well. So this means less reliance on fossil fuels, protecting our forests, and finding cleaner ways to power our world. Driving, cutting back on that, finding more ways to incorporate better transit systems, moving people better around the world.
So of course, this kind of begs the question of whose responsibility it is to reverse climate change. Because as much as, yeah, myself and Caitlin can sit here and talk about all the things that we can do as individuals, we are only two people. And the small changes that Caitlin and I make in our day-to-day lives and just our little homes and our little corners of the world, while they are going to impact our local environment, they're not going to have a huge impact on reducing those global climate challenges that we're facing. So climate change does affect everything from the weather to our food supply, and ultimately it is up to all of us to take action. Earth Hour is a great reminder that there are things that we can all do to make a difference. So whether that's reducing our energy use, supporting renewable energy, or speaking up for policies that protect our planet. If you'd like some more direct examples of how you can reduce your carbon footprint, a really great website is news.climate.columbia. There is more to that URL and we'll share it in the footnotes so that I'm not reading off numbers for you guys. But they give some wonderful and easy ways to reduce your footprint, like buying local and in-season foods or driving less when you can. Canada.ca also has a good website. Their environmental climate change site is good. They have a whole section called Things You Can Do, which will give more examples of ways you can reduce your own footprint and inspire others to do the same. So obviously, these are all great examples of habits to make in your own life. But like I just said, it's important to know that the most effective thing we can do as the working class, as individuals, is to push for policy change and push for more of the big organizations and kind of countries as a whole to make lasting shifts that will have more of an impact than having all the onus put on individuals. When Caitlin and I were talking about doing this episode, one of the things that came up as a mom is kind of the conversation around the whole idea of what kind of planet are we leaving to our children? What kind of future do they have in store? And how a lot of what I'm seeing online in terms of the rise in people who are child-free by choice, a major reason why people are choosing not to have kids these days is that they don't know what's going to happen to the planet and they don't want to leave this mess to future generations to become their responsibility when it doesn't seem like we're doing enough to enact change. And it really does feel very overwhelming sometimes as an individual. It feels like I'm already doing everything I can do, right? Like I recycle, I compost, I only drive when I have to, I walk a lot. Like of course, living in Southwestern Ontario, we do drive a fair bit to get to places. It's really hard where I live. There's not really a grocery store within walking distance. So some of the basics, like I have to drive to get there. Public transit is not the best where I live. So it's not always a good option. Like it does feel like I am doing everything that I personally can already. So that is where it gets more important to look at the things like, what are the emails that I can send to which policy change makers? Like, yeah, those are the things that I need to look into a little bit more. But
yeah. And I think too, like, not just, I mean, even if you go on to, you know, Canada.ca, you can go directly to their climate change page and find out and more about it and request policy changes directly about climate change. But I think too, like, thinking about public transportation, what are some unique ways that maybe, you know, you can shift the conversation in these government offices to make better public transportation so people are driving less, so there's better transport? Because even me in Toronto, the TTC is notoriously terrible, and so people don't take it because it's just often it's faster to Uber, or I mean, honestly, it's faster to walk, which I guess pushes more people to walk in the end. But for those who don't have that option to walk, having an effective public transport system is the best way that they can, the best thing that they can do to reduce our energy footprint. So it's thinking outside, again, it's thinking outside the box of things that we can do to shift policy change and shift the minds of governments, because yeah, there's only I feel like there is only so much we can do as individuals. Doing Meatless Monday every week is you know, not necessarily going to shift everything. Obviously it's a great thing to do, but yeah, it kind of sometimes feels helpless as an individual. So these like things like Earth Hour are really, I find them quite nice, as scary as it is sometimes to learn about the effect of climate change and what's going on in our planet. It is kind of wonderful and special to see how many people are actually taking action against climate change and shifting their viewpoints and mentalities and ways that they live just to help save the planet. I think that's really quite a beautiful thing. Our governments, maybe not so much, but it's nice to see people doing that.
So the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development does state that, quote, "We know that industry, electricity, agriculture, transport, and buildings are the main sources of greenhouse gas emissions. Cutting greenhouse gas emissions is key to sustainable and healthy lives and livelihoods. We already have many of the solutions we need to start transitioning our economies today by using the right policy levers. These include green investment, regulation, taxes, and targeted subsidies, leading by example and education. Much of this work happens at the subnational level and within individual cities." So I think that gives a good example too of kind of maybe we can start small, right? Even if we can make one change in our own local community, our own city, our own, what is the word I'm looking for? Region, then that still is a change. Like, it's still a positive step forward. And as one region makes these changes, one city makes these changes, they can be an example to other cities and regions and areas that, hey, look at what these guys are doing. Maybe we can do that too. Like, they made it look easy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the more that we can even take these small steps and just get started, the more it can kind of domino effect into bigger, better changes.
And I mean, obviously, we know that there's a lot more that governments can be doing to reduce emissions and address climate change. And these are conversations, I think, that are happening in those spaces already. And just, I feel like, need just, you know, a little bit more of a push. So the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development provides examples like ending inefficient fossil fuel subsidies, putting a price on carbon, as well as investing in innovation and new technology. So the better management of overall energy systems and or in building sustainable and resilient food systems. And I think these climate change issues also, in fixing them, help all of our other issues. Like, there's the houselessness crisis, which is helped in building sustainable food systems for people. People have more access to food, and then more money and more housing becomes available. Like, these are all chain reaction things. So I think it's so important to address these in these government offices. And of course, like, these examples will contain budget revisions and trade-offs for these policymakers to consider carefully and of course address. But most of these solutions are simple, and there's only so much consumers can do. It's these big industries that really make a difference in this climate change action. Now, of course, Earth Hour, once again, wrapping it back to where we first began and the point of this overall podcast, it again serves as a powerful reminder that we do hold the future of the planet in our hands. And each action, no matter how small, no matter how oftentimes pointless it feels sometimes to use that plastic straw, it really does have the potential to make a difference. And so not getting so apathetic with our actions, I think, is so important in helping reverse climate change. And as we reflect on this year's event, I hope that we can carry the spirit of Earth Hour forward in our daily lives and commit to more sustainable practices, advocate for these environmental policies, and work together to build a brighter and greener future for everyone, so we don't have that fear about bringing children into the world and having that those large fears carry on with us. So thank you so much, Caitlin, for joining me today and sharing your thoughts as well.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And thank you all for listening. And I hope you tune in next week. Enjoy Earth Hour, everyone.